Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Edge Portal tonight with Larry and Augusto. And Augusto is going to speak with us about what we can expect coming around the corner. And take it away, guys.
Augusto, good to hear your voice. Glad to hear from you today.
Yeah, sure is good to be back with you, Dorothy, and always good to join you, Larry, in the show program. There's so many things going on, I don't even know where to begin. It's crazy, man. But
what do you think about the Pope resigning?
Oh, my Lord, it's so much going on with that. I'm going to share a little bit on that, and then Larry can give his take on it. But, by now everybody is aware of the same Malachi prophecy of the 112 popes, the vision that he was given about all the popes all the way to the end of times, with the last pope being Saint Malachi, being Petrus Romanus, which, of course, was going to be the last pope. Well, there was this announcement just made by, Pope Benedict XVI, which is Ratzinger. That's his real name. And it just came out of nowhere. He just announced his resignation effective February 28, 2013. And this is really buzzing. It has caught everyone by surprise. Everyone expected this pope to just die in office like every other pope, but this is the first pope in 600 years that has resigned. And he's chosen. The day he talked about it was on February 11. You know, numbers are everything. The elite are into numbers. The occult are into numbers. To them, numbers are everything. And so it is not a coincidence that he first spoke of it on February 11, and then he's resigning on February the 28th. And, you add those numbers up, and he comes up to 666. Of course, some people already figured that out, But I'm not too big in numbers. I don't make much of that, but I do realize that there is something to it. But I believe that, that this thing that is happening now with the Pope is going to be the trigger of many things that are going to begin to happen one after another in this year. And this thing, I mean, there's a lot of things we can talk about here. And, of course, there are some real issues here that that caused this to happen. The money laundering practices of the Vatican and the dirty connections there with that this pope was connected with, his protection of the rapists and child molesters, in the U.S. and other countries, and many things like this that many people were really after him. And of course, one of the cardinals Cardinal Bertone, he leaked some of this stuff through the diary, in his diary to the papers and to a Catholic friendly journalist in Rome. And so this thing really became like a snowball. It started snowballing, and I believe that it was done on purpose, and there is a reason for this. And like I said, this is the first time in over 600 years that a pope is resigning like this. This is unheard of. And now this thing is going to really usher in the Petrus Romanus, which is the, according to St. Malachi prophecy, is the last pope. Whether he is the false prophet, or whether he is going to be, the pope that is going to see the false prophet, I don't know. There are different schools of thought on that, but the fact is that he is going to be supposed to be the last pope. So if a pope is elected that has, 60, 70 years in age, we're talking here about maybe another 10, 20 years tops, and it could be much less than that, of course. And so we have really entered into the end of times for a fact, if this prophecy of St. Malachi holds true. And so far, I have no reason to doubt it. Right, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you want me to put my two cents in?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. I was on Randy Yarbrough's show last night just for an hour, and that was one of the first questions he brought up about what were my thoughts on that and what would I have to say. And, you know, really, this has been going on a long time, the, I guess you could say, prophetic outlook of the direction of this and the Catholic Church, et cetera. And really, more than issuing another warning or saying any more particularly about it, you know, most people that I know just keep their head into the internet or books. They've read up on this prophecy for years. And as you said, everybody kept expecting something to happen to, well, Pope Benedict, Ratzinger is his name, as you said. And suddenly, and I mean this was just suddenly, instead of, you know, I guess passing away, he decided to resign, and it really threw a curve into the, I guess you could say, the prophecy groups that have looked into this for so many years. So I have to say that rather than warning a whole lot more, we're really just sitting back now watching a lot of the stuff that we've talked about and shared and you know, for over 10 years or more probably, Augusto, we're watching this becoming fulfilled and watching all this play out. And of course, we all know a direction or more or less a season for this to play out. But, you know, even as smart as we are, we don't seem to have everything down to the – to the, well, sometimes the year, the day, and the hour, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Ironically, yeah, let me share this, Augusto. You know, I'm not telling anybody to believe this, but I had got an email earlier today from Barry Rothman, who actually ran a code called The Pope Resigns. And in the Torah code that he ran, the words that he shows to have come up is Pope, Resignation, 5773, 2013, that is. Edom, Homo, Vatican, and Sick are the words that came back in the matrix that he ran. You know, those, all I can tell people is those are the words. So apparently there are some words in the Torah about, you know, the Pope resigning, or even using the term resignation. Do you need to comment on that, Augusto? If you don't, I wanted to read something.
Go ahead. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. This is, ironically, I found one of my old books the other day when this began to come out. It's by, most of us all know, of Malachi Martin. And he wrote a book almost 20 years ago, well, longer than that maybe now, called The Keys of This Blood. And you can't hardly find these books. Most of his books, after he passed on, kind of left the web. But listen, I'm going to read this. This is in the beginning. This is actually the first written page, particularly, of Malachi Martin's book, talking about the Vatican and the things it's been identified with. Okay, and I'm quoting, I'm reading this. It says, willing or not, ready or not, we are all involved in an all-out, no holds barred, three-way global competition. Most of us are not competitors, however. We are the stakes. For the competition is about who will establish the first one-world system of government that has ever existed in the Society of Nations. It is about who will hold and wield the dual power of authority and control over each of us as individuals and over all of us together as a community, over the entire 6 billion people expected by demographers to inhabit the planet by early in the third millennium. The competition is all out because, now that it has started, there is no way it can be reversed or called off. No holds are barred because once the competition has been decided of the world and all that's in it, our way of life as individuals and as citizens of the nations, our families and our jobs, our trade and commerce and money, our educational systems and our religious and our cultures, even the badges of our national identity, which most of us has always taken for granted, all will have been powerfully and radically altered forever. No one can be exempted from its effects. No sector of our lives will remain untouched. Now, that's a quote from Malachi Martin years ago.
Wow. I think he knew what was going on, and I think he was aware of it, and I think that was probably one of the reasons why he was offed by these people, you know, which is the M.O. of this, you know, of these people. They tend to disappear, those that are talking too much, or, you know, that there might be a danger to their plans. There's a lot here that, my goodness, I mean, this thing that is happening right now with Pope, the resignation of Ratzinger, Pope Ratzinger, it's going to snowball into, I think, it's going to be, like you said, the ushering in of the New World Order. I do believe that this is going to be the trigger that is going to bring us into the one world religion with its base and headquarters in the city of Jerusalem. I do believe that the Vatican is going to be destroyed according to the prophecy. You know, the Malachi prophecy, when he talks about that during the life of this Pope, Rome was going to be destroyed, and, you know, the terrible judge was going to judge the nations, you know, referring, I believe he's referring to the Almighty, the Creator. And I believe that this thing is going to escalate into a total destruction of what we have come to know as the Catholic Church. And I know a lot of people listening to me out there may think this is kind of off the wall or crazy, but I just see the handwriting on the wall. Recently, the Italian media, a commentator said, quote, "We have all the grounds for a second Reformation now. That's how serious this crisis is. The church will either rid itself of itself or face collapse. Enormous rifts are developing within the church, where the cardinals are facing criminal prosecution for shielding child rapists, and talk of disaffiliating from Rome is widespread among the Irish, American, and German bishops. The real issue is not who or what will replace Joseph Ratzinger," and notice it says what, "who or what will replace Joseph Ratzinger as the latest figurehead, but how to displace the Vatican itself as a criminal power unto itself. And that struggle is just commencing." Well, those are pretty serious words right there. It's talking about a reformation, you know. We all know what happened the last time a reformation took place. Now, this is talking about another reformation. And if these people get their way, and I there's some other things here, you know, we can touch on. If these people get their way, the Vatican is going to suffer a severe, massive blow from which it may not recover, which will give way, I believe, personally, it may give way to the ushering in of this new world religion, this new world system, with its false pope, its false messiah, or its false prophet, and the whole nine yards, all the religions uniting under one banner. And, you know, and this could be the time when Maitreya appears. I have been talking about Maitreya for a long, long time. I've been following, you know, the information, you know, researching the information on this man since 1982. I have still the documents, the paper clip articles on when this came out, the first time he came out in New York Times, a whole page ad where it said that he was going to be the Christ to the Christians, Buddha to the Buddhists, Muhammad to the Muslims, and so forth and so on. and that he was going to bring, you know, an end to poverty, bring an end to, unfairness and unrighteousness on the earth, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this was back in 82, and then in 80, I think it was in 86, no, in 88, or it was either 86 or 88, I would have to look at the article. It came out, again, a whole-page ad in the USA Today, the same thing, again. Well, it hasn't happened yet. The time wasn't right. And, you know, every time these people were asked when this was going to happen, when this so-called Maitreya was going to appear, he would say at the right time, when times are right, the times are not right yet. The world's got to get much worse. So, you know, more chaotic, more, it's got to, more problems have to exist in the world and so forth. So we are getting very close, I believe, to the appearance of this man, and this next pope could be it, although it doesn't have to be. I don't think he has to be the false prophet. He could be just a vehicle through which the false prophet maybe sees his hold. But either way, whether he is the false prophet or he is just the last pope that will usher in the false prophet, this is big, because nobody was expecting this, that at the end of this month, we're going to get Petros Romanos.
Tell you what, it's just amazing, Augusto. And that, I was listening very clearly when you said, you mentioned that word what, and that really stuck out at me, and I thought, you know, a what, that's a little different than a replacement pope, you know. However, I remember, you know, years ago, I was in contact with Kathleen Keating. You know, you heard of her years ago.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She wrote a number of books talking about the end times, and she was a very close friend with Malachi Martin, who I just read from, and also was aware and got word right after this incident happened to Malachi Martin that, you know, he was taken ahead of time. In other words, there was an incident, and he was killed. And, you know, we won't go into the conspiratorial theories of all of that. However, she was able to get the information from those close to Malachi just before he died that something had happened to him, and he indicated that it was a supernatural event had occurred, which I'm assuming means demonic, if you know what I'm saying. And the interesting thing about Maitreya now that I wanted to bring out was Kathleen Keating, you know, had an incident where Maitreya came to her house. She was actually doing some revelatory work or in revelation of some of his work in the early years. And, you know, we heard a lot of reports, and you probably heard him, Augusto, how he could actually walk through walls. He could do supernatural activities. He could levitate. You know, he'd know what certain people were thinking, and he came to her house, and right after she wouldn't let him in, refused to let him in, and said that there was a military, what appeared to be a general or some officer of the U.S. with him when he visited her. And the interesting thing was she became violently ill right after that, and I don't think she ever recovered that I know of. From then on, as far as I know, most of my contact with her, she was still ill, still sick. She'd get a little better and then get a lot sicker. And so it really throws some light, as far as I'm concerned, on an incident, if it was told to me accurately, that this individual that you mentioned is beyond normal. Not a normal individual. This individual is super normal.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. I have read a lot of books, and I have done a lot of research, and I have to say, Larry, that, you know, I really, from the first moment I read about this guy, in my spirit, you know, and in, like in everything, in, you know, in our walk with the Lord, we have to use discernment. Our head knowledge is not going to be enough in this last end times. We're going to have discernment, develop deep, sharp discernment. And the Lord has always given me good discernment about these things. And the moment I read about this guy, in my spirit, I knew that this guy was legit, that this guy was the real deal. And, you know, he was not one of these other fake, false prophets that you're going to get dime a dozen. And, you know, they've always been out there. This guy, for some reason, has stuck through decades. He has stuck. And he hasn't made a big fanfare about it. He hasn't made appearances. He's biding his time, which lets you know that is another clue that this guy is legit. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for the right time and the right and I have been given information that he is pulling strings from behind the scenes. He is involved in many things that are going on right now. He's right in there from the with the world shakers and the world movers. He's involved in political decisions in the Middle East. He's involved in political decisions in most of the major world powers. So this guy is—he's a real deal. He is going to make an appearance. Now, the interesting thing about this thing with Pope Benedict is, and this just came out today. I got this in an email. Is that he is seeking immunity and protection from the Italian president Giorgio Napolitano.
Yes.
He's going to seek it on February 23rd, and you know, the International Tribunal is calling on Napolitano to not give in to in criminality to this pope because of the of all the crimes against humanity that he has committed, and you know, we have never heard anything like this against a pope. Larry or Dorothy, this has never happened ever, at least in the last few hundred years. So we are seeing something we have never seen before, at least those of us that are alive, how a pope is being taken down. The whole system of the Vatican, it is going to be taken down. I kept reading this report. It says that the ITCCS, which is the International Tribunal into Crimes of the Church and State, and its field secretary, Reverend Kevin Arnett, has written to President Napolitano of Italy, asking him to refrain from assisting Ratzinger in evading justice. And from the stuff that I've been reading in this ITCCS letter, this is not going to stop with the Pope. This thing is going to go all the way, like like they have mentioned already. It's going to be like a reformation. So the first thing I read here when I started talking about this, where he talked about who or what will replace Joseph Ratzinger, that is exactly what they mean. It may not be a who, it may be a what. We don't know what's going to come out of this thing.
That's right. Oh, well, one of the things that's really strange about this, one of the books Malachi Martin had written indicated that the three players bring in a new world order literally were, the U.S. and the Western powers on one hand, and then, I can't remember, it might have been in that time Putin was, but anyway, it was basically Russia and, you know, those axes, and then the Vatican. And it really throwed me because, you know, I never had really thought of the Vatican being a player in that big of a field. You know what I'm saying? However, Malachi Martin brought out a lot of facts that I wasn't aware of. Of course, a lot of other people probably were about intelligence. You know, they're just like a nation, actually, inside, Rome,
right,
there in the Vatican. They have their own intelligence people. They have their own, according to what I've heard, assassins, their own, enforcement, whether it's paramilitary or some type of law enforcement group, but basically they're an entity among to themselves, and because of the fact that they've got the church affiliation, so to speak, or religion, they literally have their fingers in every pie around the world. Every nation around the entire world pretty much has a Catholic location, and and it never struck me until Malachi Martin came out with what he did that literally, they were a player out there in the field, or the souls of the world. but knowing that they were a religion too, it kind of was odd. But Malachi Martin brought all this kind of together, and then, of course, he was outed. And this could be a way that this all comes down. And it, as you mentioned, I also saw the reports coming out about, the leader, of, I guess the president, they call him, of Italy, and the protection that the Pope, current Pope, is trying to obtain under that national status. This is a real big game. I mean, this thing is really an awesome game being played out before our eyes. I don't think most people, Augusto, realize how big of an event this is really, it really is.
Oh, it's so big, and that's exactly what I was trying to share before, that this thing is bigger than people have, they have no idea how big this thing it is. Especially after reading this document by the ITCCS, this entity is seeking to take action, not just against the Pope, Larry, but against the Vatican itself.
That's
and
right.
Other Vatican officials. They're going to try to bring them to trial for their proven complicity in crimes against humanity and criminal conspiracy. Now, this is something that is unheard of. It goes on saying that this... this entity, the ITCCS, is going to try to seize church property and assets to prevent their use by child-raging priests who are protected under Catholic canon law. So, you know, this thing, this entity, and what it's trying to do is not just, charges against Pope Benedict the 16th, Joseph Ratzinger. This is actually taking on the whole Vatican entity, which you mentioned correctly.
The whole church government.
The whole church structure. And these people are going to be convening, the ITCCS central office is going to be convening a formal human rights inquiry in Rome, commencing the week of May the 13th, 2013. To consider further charges against the Vatican, listen, and its new Pope for crimes against humanity and obstruction of justice. Now, the new Pope, that means that whoever that new Pope is, they're going to try to just bring him into this mess. So this new Pope, whoever he is going to find himself involved in a mess that he was not, maybe had nothing to do with, but because he's part of the system, he's going to be embroiled in its, in all this mess. So what we are fixing to see here in the next couple of months, 2-3 months, is nothing less of spectacular, never seen before in the history, at least in recent history.
That's right. It's so amazing. And literally... You know, when you think about the whole game of this, New World Order movement, this may be a move by the New World Order forces to literally take the religious end completely out of any leadership in the New World Order. And this is strange. I mean, this brings up angles that I haven't even considered before some of this has came out in the last few days.
Well, this is the way I see it, okay, and for what it's worth, okay, this is not something the Lord has told me or the Lord prophesied to me, so some of the listeners out there don't come back 6 months or a year from now and say, you prophesied, Augusto. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm giving you my opinion, okay, just my opinion, and I have a right to give an opinion. That's what all these talking heads do every night on the news, and nobody holds them responsible. And so I have a right to give my opinion. So this is all it is, my opinion, okay? Nothing that the Lord has shown me, a vision or a dream or anything like that. But I believe, my opinion is, that this thing is going to be a trigger to take down the religious system in the world. We know the Catholic religion is the biggest, Christian denomination in the whole world. So they basically represent the majority of the Christianity in the world. Whether people agree with them or not, that's the way it is. And so if these people are capable or are successful, is the better word, to take down the Catholic Church as the main Christian denomination in the world and discredit them and show that it is all a farce and it's all fake and it's blah, 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 and it's all putrid, it is going to do tremendous, severe damage to the Christian religion. And I believe this is in preparation for the takedown of religion, period. We see what is going on with the Muslims, nations. They're taking them down and they're replacing them with the Muslim Brotherhood. They want to, according to the Masonic, plans and the dreams of Bishop Pike. Of course, he had three dreams, and I'm not going to get into details of it. But the third dream he had to do with the takedown of the three major religions of the world: Christianity, the Muslims, and the Judeo religion. The Jewish religion. And so those three religions had to be taken down. And basically what he said in that dream he had, that vision he had, was that there was going to be a war that was going to, basically wipe out all three religions and give birth, okay, usher in the New World Order with its Luciferian religion, okay? So I believe that this is where this thing is heading. This thing is heading to the taking down of the Catholic religion as the main religion in the world. This is probably going to be associated or complemented with the destruction of Rome, just like it's prophesied in the Bible. I do believe that there is a religious Babylon and also a commercial Babylon. Commercial Babylon would be the United States, of course, but it's not just the United States. There is also a religious Babylon, the whore. In the Bible, a whore is always a woman and is always associated with a religion. So the United States doesn't represent a religion. It represents an economic power. So there is an economic Babylon, but there is also a religious Babylon. And I believe that that religious Babylon is Rome and the Vatican, and the Vatican sitting on it. And I believe there's going to come severe judgment on the Vatican for the shed blood of the martyrs, which, of course, it's everybody that just does a bit of research in history, they will know that during the Dark Ages, there were millions of Christians martyred during the Dark Ages, yeah. And the Catholic Inquisition. I mean, that is a known fact. Just read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. So those scriptures referring to, the blood of the martyrs was found in her is referring to the Catholic Church in Rome, okay? And there may be Catholics listening out there, and God loves you. I love you. I have nothing against you. God has nothing against you, but you have to wake up and smell the coffee that this system is corrupted. It is going to be brought down. And not just the Catholic system is going to be brought down, but most of these religions are going to be brought down. Because if you look at the scriptures, what it says the mother of harlots, okay? So we have a mother and we have daughters. The mother is Rome, but there's a lot of other Protestant daughters that are also harlots. And they're also going to be taken down. So it's going to be the mother of harlots and its daughters going to be taken down in this end time. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be horrific. And I shudder at the judgment that's going to fall upon the false Babylon, the false religion of Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and its daughters. And this is the beginning. We are seeing the beginning of it take place right before our eyes.
Well, Augusta, one thing that I was thinking of as you was describing that is the fact that, do you not find it interesting? And I'm just calling it interesting. I'm not trying to assert anything that that wasn't really there. But do you not find it interesting that months ago, when Obama was pushing his Obamacare and they were had the big fight going. Isn't it interesting that Obama chose to attack the Catholic Church and their agencies in the U.S. at that point in time?
Yeah, there's something going on with President Obama, which is really, really bizarre. You know, he's going to go to Israel, Jerusalem, for the first time in his presidency. And he has picked a day to go there, which is 6 days before Passover, exactly when the time when Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem, Yeshua HaMashiach. He rode into Jerusalem riding on a donkey 6 days before the Passover. And, I mean, people out there may say, oh, you're really stretching it, Brother Perez, Gusto. You're really, I mean, this has nothing. It may have nothing to do with it. I mean, it may just be a coincidence, okay? I'm just saying there's a lot of these little coincidences or coinkings taking place, which is bizarre, if you ask me. And it just happens that right now, before he goes to Jerusalem, the Pope resigns. The Pope resigns, and all this stuff is taking place. I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff happening this year, 2013. You know, 13 is another number that the occultists are fascinated with. It's 13. It takes 13 to form a coven. 13 stars in the back of the dollar bill. You know, the 13 layers in the pyramid. The 13. On and on. The number 13 is all over the occultic symbology. And so this year, I really believe that it is going to be a year where we're going to see a lot of the plans of the elite and the New World Order begin to click, and the gears are going to begin to turn, and we're going to see many of their plans begin to be brought to fruition. You know, this new pope is Petrus Romanus. It's the last pope. And like I said before, some people think he's the false prophet, considered the anti-pope in Catholic terminology. Others, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Either way, the Lord hasn't shown me, so I cannot say. And I really cannot voice an opinion on it because I really wouldn't know what to say. I really don't know. It doesn't matter, I guess, is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter whether the new pope is the false prophet or whether he just be a stepping stone for the false prophet. The issue here is that he is the last pope, if this Malachi prophecy is true. And I don't put a lot of stock on the prophecies made by Malachi, but I can't throw any stones at it. I mean, so far it's been 100% accurate. So you cannot do better than that. So for now, that Malachi prophecy, I cannot vote against it. So all I can say is we're going to have to wait and see. But this thing that is happening right before our eyes, it is unheard of. It is first time ever, and the other thing I wanted to ask you, Larry, I was reading today and watching this thing on the crucifix of the Pope Benedict, and you know, a lot of people don't know either what this crucifix stands for. It's called the bent cross, but the broken cross or the bent cross, according to a guy named Neville Spearman, he said that this is a sinister symbol used by Satanists in the 6th century that had been revived at the time of the Vatican II. Now, the Vatican II was the time when the Pope Paul VI became Pope. When he became Pope, okay? That was back in the 60s. And that was the time, remember, when there were rumors talking about the fact that that Satan had entered the Vatican. And I
remember that.
I think even Malachi Martin referred to that.
Yes, he spoke quite a bit on that.
And so that was the time and the year, and that was the Pope that was in power or came into power around that time. And so I'm going to go on reading. It says, this was a bent or broken cross on which was displayed a repulsive and distorted figure of Christ, which the black magicians and sorcerers of the Middle Ages had made use of to represent the biblical term mark of the beast. Yet not only Pope Paul VI, but his successors, the two John Pauls, John Paul I and John Paul II, have, and now Pope Benedict XVI, have carried the object, this bent cross, and held it up to be revered by crowds who had not the slightest idea that it stood for the Antichrist. So all these signs are right there for the people to see, and the people just have no clue. And of course, you know, we could talk about the head, you know, the hexagram on the head of the Pope that looks like a fish, which is called the head of Dagon, the fish god. But we're not going to get into that. We're not going to make it about that, because this has much bigger implications. But this whole thing is referring to Mystery Babylon is coming down, okay? Because I happen to believe that the Catholic Church and all these things that surround it have to do with Mystery Babylon, okay? Mystery Babylon the Great. And, of course, like I said before, Rome is considered the religious Babylon, or the religious part of Mystery Babylon, and the United States is the economic engine, if you will, of Mystery Babylon. Both are part of Mystery Babylon. You cannot say that it's just the United States. It is part of it, but it's also Rome. You cannot leave Rome out of it. Could it be why then the reason there is an obelisk right in front of the Vatican, and there's another obelisk right in front of the White House? Could those two be related in any way?
Well, that's kind of interesting too, Augusto. Remember that, I think Jerusalem, what they say, sat on seven hills, and so is Rome, I believe, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, there's some symbolism there, and this is what's interesting. As you were talking, I remembered that a few months ago, you remember when Obama started his, I guess you could say, work, and the UN was working on dividing Jerusalem. About this time when some of those articles came out, I remember that the current Pope and the Vatican both put their finger in the Jerusalem pie. You know, they was wanting to be a part of that movement, the new movement in Jerusalem to rule. And that may have been a sign of the beginning of, I guess, their takedown by this New World Order group that's going to run the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they began their push, as I was mentioning before, back in 1963, during the reign of Pope Paul VI. And since then, the Illuminati has really taken control of the Vatican, and, black magic witchcraft is the official religion of the Vatican. Now, not that before that, that wasn't taking place there, but I believe that the agenda of this, people, the Illuminati, which, of course, the Illuminati was initiated by Ignatius Loyola, I think it was, and which was called the Illuminados. He was a Jesuit priest. The Illuminados, which means the Illuminated Ones. And, of course, most people know about the Black Pope, which is the Jesuit, head, the head of the Jesuit movement. And so he's considered the Black Pope, and he's the power behind the power. So this whole mess is so big that, anyway, going back to this deal about the cross, the bent crucifix, okay, the bent crucifix was created by Satanists, according to this article, to depict Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. And it was originated by Satanists back in the Middle Ages and adopted by the Masters of the Illuminati sometime in 1776, Okay, this was first displayed at the Vatican by a pope, by Pope Paul VI in 1963. So basically what they were saying was, you know, guys, we are going to usher in the Antichrist. We're going to usher in the beast system. We are going to usher it in, whether it's going to be a pope or what, like I read before, a who or a what, I don't know. But it's going to be, the next pope is going to usher in this thing. So it behooves us to keep our eyes really, really peeled open, because we are about to see something we have never seen before. We are about to see this thing unfold right before our eyes. We are living in exciting times.
Yeah, we are. You mentioned there, you were reading and talked about Pope Paul VI. Let me, in this book, The Keys of His Blood by Malachi Martin, let me read you this paragraph. It says, Pope Paul VI told the departing bishops that their church had decided to opt for man, to serve man, to help him build his home on this earth. Man with his ideas and his aims, man with his hopes and his fears, man in his difficulties and suffering. That was the centerpiece of the church's interest. And don't you find that interesting? This was December 1965.
Wow.
And the timing of a lot of these things are incredible.
It is incredible. It is incredible. You know, this next pope, which nobody knows really who is going to be, some people have mentioned it's going to be Cardinal Bertone, but some others have said they could be this other African cardinal, which his first name is Peter. So I don't know. But according to the prophecies, St. Malachi and other prophecies, is that this next pope, this last pope, which will be Petrus Romanus, right? Of course, Tom Horn has written a great novel, which, by the way, I haven't read. I need to read. I need to get in and read it, but I haven't read it. But I know it's from the reports I've read that it's really good. This last pope is going to be the anti-pope, or the false prophet of Revelation 13, 10 to 18. So either this next pope, either he is the like it mentioned here, the last pope, or the false prophet, or he could be the pope in office when the Antichrist rises to power and destroys the papacy and the Vatican by fire, which is also in the scriptures in Revelation 17:16. So these things are happening at a very, very incredible time right now, when the world seems to be going crazy. I mean, many strange things happening. So, every day it seems like something weird's going on. So
absolutely.
We're living in incredibly exciting times. Incredible.
And, you know, at the same time with a lot of this, I don't know if you ever got that link I sent you. Barry Rothman had also ran a very strange Torah code on this asteroid 2012 DA14.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did you get to see that? That's really odd.
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay, you got that one up. That's the one I think you said you couldn't open.
Right.
But anyway, interestingly, that asteroid is supposed to come closer than even our own satellites. Barry Rothman reporting kind of a hair's breadth type approach tomorrow. And the words that came up in what the code that he ran were asteroid 2012 DA14, the name of it, 5 Adar, which is February the 15th, like the stars of heaven, and the number 7. And he said he thought maybe the 7 was an indicator, in other words, 7 magnitude, which would be about as bright as a star, a regular star in the sky. So, but, you know, it's interesting, some of these codes that, you know, all of these things are going along with all the events that are happening on the earth, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it talks about, the Bible talks about signs in the heavens and on the earth. And we are seeing signs in the heavens. We are seeing signs on the earth. We are seeing earthquakes. We are seeing the volcanoes. We are seeing asteroids that are coming so close to the earth that, I mean, I don't know how much closer you can get than this. It's coming, this asteroid tomorrow is going to be coming, passing the earth between the satellites and the earth. So, I mean, how much closer can it get? I don't know, without hitting us? So we are seeing this thing. I believe that someone is trying to get our attention for the people of God to wake up. There's another article here I stumbled across also, Larry and Dorothy, which is back in 1991, which I, you know, it ties into what we were talking before and this science in the heavens. On August 18th, 1991, a member of the Black Magic Secret Society, the House of Theosophy, who had just been born again just a few weeks before, he went into a seminar for members only, okay, to discuss a unique presentation they were doing on the, you know, on the possible and probable events in the future. Anyway, this event was being conducted by the global elite and some decisions that that they were going to be making in the future, in the near future. One of the decisions, according to this man, this report, was that top religious leaders of the New World Order religion would be the Roman Catholic Pope, whatever that time would be. This revelation would make the Pope the office of the false prophet. This is what he said. At the proper time in history, the Pope will visit the combined Jewish-Christian-Muslim sector of Jerusalem to announce that all religions should be combined into one. This announcement that all world's religions are now the same under the leadership of the Pope will establish the prophesied one-world religion with the Pope as the undisputed leader. Now, this director, Dr. Bill Lambert, stated that this Catholic pontiff, okay, he was the one that was planned to be the top religious leader of the New World Order religion. This is a designation which would make him the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that was discussed in this meeting. Now, this ties into what I was sharing before, okay, about Maitreya, or you could plug in there the Mahdi that the Muslims are awaiting. Okay, maybe it's all of them. It's one rolled up into one. So this is something that it's happening right now. Now this man was also there when they said, when the Pope, okay, Bill Lambert was in this meeting, and he heard them say that when the Pope goes to Jerusalem and Maitreya makes his appearance, there will be three types of people. The first kinds of people are those whose consciousness has been properly raised so they can accept them. The second group of people are those whose consciousness has been raised somewhat, but not high enough that they will readily and immediately accept him. But they might be able to accept him, after further enlightenment. In other words, after further training, the re-education camps. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, those who will never accept him, okay? I think this is the third group is the group that we need to be concerned about. And so this Pope could be the false prophet. And as he specified, he says that the preparation for the New World Order religion is, at that time, now, this was a few years ago, was being paved by the ecumenical movement, which was being spearheaded by the Pope. Remember when those other popes started talking about the ecumenical movement, how merging all the religions into one? And remember John Paul II, he used to go and he chanted with a Tibetan Tibetan monks and all these people started getting together in different religions, and we see now in the U.S., Christians beginning to unite with Muslims, you know, and this is very, very much a part of the new world religion that they want to usher in, okay? And so remember in Revelation 13, chapter 12, it talks about the second beast, okay? The ones that had two horns like a lamb, but speaks mm-hmm. like a dragon. Okay? This is symbolic, the two horns like a lamb, symbolic of someone who may speak like a Christian, or who looks like a Christian, I should say, but speaks like a dragon, speaks like, you know, like a devil. So this is something that we may very well see. I think we who are alive right now, we will see this happen in the very near future.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's becoming more interesting by the day, not only in the U.S., but as we see now, over the whole planet. I mean, this stuff is, you know, this is what's interesting, too. I was thinking as you was talking, Augusto, about a lot of the, you know, the church hierarchy, so to speak, the Catholic Church. Remember a few years ago, they began to come out and were making preparations for the arrival, the alien, right. so-called alien arrival, and how the church was going to deal with that and how the UN was supposed to deal with it. And, you know, we've got all this stuff in the background. And remember, I believe, I'm not sure, but I think the Pope had said that, or some of his cardinals had said, that they would welcome the aliens when they arrived, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is really, it's all coming together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The new man that is going to take the position of the Pope, okay, whoever is going to lead the human race, okay, in the one world religion has to be able to receive these ETs, okay, these visitors, okay, mm-hmm. The Anunnaki, the ETs, whatever people want to call it, they're going to be devils. They're going to be fallen angels. They're going to come. They're already here. There's been massive activity. I mean, we've been talking about this now for several years, and not only us, but many other people, many other watchmen have been talking about it. The flying saucers, the you know UFOs, and I just saw a video today of this huge object entering the sun. I mean, you could see it entering the sun's corona, a massive object, and then it exited on the other side. So, you know, and I believe I've shared before on some audio files we've done, some radio shows that. The sun is a massive portal. It is a massive portal that is being used by these races, okay, to transport themselves to wherever it is that they go, to whatever dimension it is that they go. And apparently some of these portals, the more energy you have in them, the better it works. And you couldn't ask for more power than the sun. So it would make a very tremendous portal, a gateway for these entities. So people have been seeing these objects around the sun now for years. I mean, all kinds of sizes of UFOs around the sun, and we are seeing in that we are seeing them now in the sky. So this thing is imminent. And so whoever the new religious leader is, or whatever it is, it's going to have to be able to embrace the arrival of these entities into planet Earth.
That's right. Well, it's amazing, you know, the time frame of all of this, because even though this thing didn't come overnight, I don't know of any of the media, do you, Augusto, that really leaked any of the data of what was transpiring between the Vatican and the tribunal and, you know, the UN and these other groups. And, you know, there's a lot of, I guess you could say, big heads around the world that were putting a plan together.
Yeah, we are not going to hear it either. We are not going to see anything being said on the news, the major networks. They're not going to touch this thing. There's so many things going on right now, and no one is talking about it. No one is mentioning anything. No one even... We don't hear about any reports in the news, anything about earthquakes. Do you see any earthquake reports in the news anymore? I don't.
No, not even almost an 8. I mean, you don't even see any news. And really, it's so downplayed by the USGS and even the European groups that there's not a lot of data. I mean, it's just simply not a lot of data. I smile almost every day I get on my... you know, when the earthquake originally occurs, they give it a magnitude. And I can look on there, and I've seen so many earthquakes that they've dropped the magnitude. It's originally a 6.9 or 7. You know, they'll make it a 6.1 or so. I mean, they're really, really dropping the magnitude on these quakes. So when you actually go in and look later, why, it wasn't that bad a day.
Yeah, I know. They talk about it.
Yeah.
It's comical. It's almost comical. You know, like this super volcano that we were talking about today, you and I, that is emerging there in the Pacific. I mean, It's not something that happens every other day, is it?
No, absolutely not. Matter of fact, I don't know anybody until Standeo began to post some of the data on it, really was aware of the magnitude of this magma and the activity that was under the ocean there, that it was a massive volcanic situation, you know, arising. We're seeing the I guess you could call them precursor quakes and the data associated. And not only that, Augusto, recently I began to watch some earthquake activity around a lake. This has been going on a few years, but the last few days out in Nevada, I think they term it Tonopah or something like that for a location, but there's a lake, Mono Lake or something like that out there, that there's some reports coming out that this also is a massive covered up volcano that is coming to life. And listen, some of the earthquakes are aftershocks, easy way you want to put it. Some of those have been in the 4 and like 5.1 magnitude, Augusto, and there's really hardly any news at all.
Oh, no. If you hear anything in the news, they say stuff like, yeah, oh, by the way, there was a volcano or 5 volcanoes erupting. Yeah, you know that happens so often, you know, and the people were just looking at it. You know, they make it, you know, people drinking coffee and, you know, like it's something that happens every day. And these events have never happened before. And then you try to talk about it and, you know, really highlight them, and people call you, crazy that you're trying to, you know, to make things, more than they are. And it's called propaganda, Larry. It's called propaganda, and, I'm used to it. I've seen it all my life in Cuba and here, and, you know, you can make anything mean whatever you want it to mean. That's the power of...
I thought the other day, I was thinking about some of the events that really you and I and others glean, even from Internet information we're finding, and especially some of the incredible finds, artifacts and petroglyphs, you know, the ancient writings and all of this that all of a sudden they're finding and bringing to light. It's just massive. And I was thinking, you know, to most normal, I guess you could, if you want to use the term normal human beings on the planet, especially in America, an above normal event to them is when your styrofoam cup with coffee has a small hole in it. That's an above normal event.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, the level of denial that we are seeing in people, you know, I don't know if it's the fluoride that people are drinking in the water, or if it's the, all the stuff they're putting in the chemtrails, or I don't know what it is, or just the people are just, they have turned everything off. I don't know. It may be a combination of all of the above, but it seems like nobody really is really caring about any of this anymore. There are very few people that are really seeing this thing, you know. They just can't see it. I was thinking about the times when Jesus Christ, Yeshua, came to planet Earth, you know, and most of the religious people, they couldn't see it. You know, he came to his own, and his own received him not. They couldn't, they didn't recognize him. But you know who recognized him? Were the little shepherd boys and, you know, the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the harlots and, you know, those kinds of people, you know, the thieves, and they recognized him. And, you know, he had the grace and he forgave them because the grace of God forgives any sin, no matter what it is you did, you've done. You can come to him and repent. And sometimes I wonder, Larry, who would the Lord prefer? Somebody that says believes in him, but it's turned off, has no passion for the Lord, has no passion for prayer, has no love, no passion for him, no love for the fellow man. He's not interested in anything that's going on. They're just living in their little world. Who would the Lord have more mercy on? Or maybe some of these people out there that, you know, they're sinners, but they're just open, and they say, forgive me, Father, forgive me, Lord. I know I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I repent. I wonder who would get more mercy and grace from the Creator.
Well, from some of the linguistics that was used and terms that was used biblically, I would have to say that I don't want to be lukewarm. You know, I'm sure that is offensive. I mean, from the reaction that the Holy Spirit wrote in the book, you know, that's extremely offensive to the Lord. I mean, you know, would that you be, you know, hot or cold one way or the other, but it just don't be lukewarm, you know?
Well, I guess it's kind of the same, right? I mean, he's supposed to be the bridegroom, right? We're supposed to be the bride. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the same in the bridegroom, right? A bridegroom would rather have his bride either hate him or love him, but indifference is something that a bridegroom cannot stand. Indifference.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
You know, a bridegroom, you know, would rather have his bride, you know, passionately in love with him, hugging him and kissing him, or just mad at him, you know. But, you know, either hot or cold, you know, at least he knows where she stands. But indifference, that I think is the lowest feeling that anybody can have towards another. Indifference. Yeah. That I think is dangerous. When the Lord, when somebody's indifferent towards the Lord and his things, and you know, I think that's dangerous ground.
Oh, I believe you. I absolutely do. I was talking on the show last night, and I was, I know you're busy. I mean, you really are busy because you make lots of trips, and you're involved in a lot of works around the world. Even though you're not at some of those locations, you're, I guess, daily either praying for them or working your way to get there to them or trying to get them some help or whatever. But, you know, I read a lot of books. I really do. I read a lot of books. And I guess my wife is merciful there. You know, I guess she doesn't complain too much because I read too much, you know, because there's a lot of other men in the world that do things that I suppose worse than that. But I was sharing on that show last night with Randy the fact that, you know, I've read from some of the best authors, and I'm talking about authors that literally have the inside with the intelligence agencies, the military, you know, a lot of black project stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll even name a lot, you know, two or three of their names. One of them is Brad Thor. Another one is a guy named Brad Taylor. And you can Google these names and find the books they've written. Davis Bunn is excellent. And Joel Rosenberg is just incredible, especially Davis Bunn and Joel Rosenberg as far as writing about a movement of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, whichever way you want to say it, in the foreign countries, especially the Muslim countries. And, you know, this is a lot of news we just don't ever glean. We don't get much news about this because, number one, it's really, really politically incorrect. And
you know, I guess the powers that be right now would say that couldn't happen anyway, even though it is. They're not going to admit it. But, with gleaning from some of these authors that are so good and they've got their feelers into the intel agencies themselves, I have seen by reading these books, Augusto, so many warnings. And I recognize them as warnings from the Lord, even though people will say, oh, that's a fiction book. You know, this guy's a conspiracy theorist. This guy's making this up. No, I literally can see by the Spirit warnings to people all over the world if they'd read these books of what's coming, and, you know, including the Vatican situation, from Malachi Martin and some of his warnings years ago. But with these other authors I've just mentioned, they are screaming at the top of those so-called fiction words, warnings to America especially, and different parts of the world about the rise of the caliphate, so to speak, or what you would say in the Mahdi, and all of this stuff's coming out. I mean, we've got warnings everywhere. Nobody, I believe, will ever be able to say, I just didn't ever know and I never got warned what was coming, because even in the books, and not even to mention movies, Augusto, or documentaries and things, we are just swamped daily by warnings that the people don't even recognize, just don't even recognize them.
Yeah, there's warnings out there galore. Yeah, absolutely, even ones that we don't even recognize or even are aware of. The Lord is so merciful. I mean, he is so patient, so merciful. Just take, for instance, this comment, and I did get the email, by the way. I got it. I just got it on this object coming tomorrow, the asteroid. It's going to come so close to us, folks, that if this thing would have been just a little, it would have changed just a little its orbit, it would have smacked us. I mean, it would have hit us right bullseye. And it's going to spare us. But, you know, people should not be cocky and defiant and say, no, that's all a bunch of false alarm, blah, blah, blah. You guys are always talking about. Well, we are always talking about these things because we as watchmen have to. If we don't talk to you about these things, who is going to? The news ain't going to tell you. And so, you know, we are not being hit by these things because of the grace of God. That is it, period. He has spared us so far, and he doesn't have to spare us if he doesn't want to. All he takes is just one little adjustment. The same goes for this other comet that is going to be coming close later in the year. I mean, the solar flares. How many solar flares have been sent our way and we've been spared?
Oh,
we have deflected it. I mean, if just one of those solar flares would hit us smack our dead on, that's it. It would fry our electronics. We would be back in the dark ages. But the Lord has been so merciful. And this is what people just don't understand. They just don't get it. It is the mercy and the grace of God that it keeps us, you know, protected until until the day when he says it's over, I'm done. I'm not going to protect anymore. I'm taking my people out of there, and it's going to be hell on earth. And I think we're getting very close to these things happening. This year is being called the year of the comet. The year of the comet. There's going to be many comets coming this year, not just Comet Ison. There's another one called 2014 LA. I mean, on and on and on and on he goes. And, you know, people need to wake up. You need to wake up and get as close to the Lord as you possibly can, because we are seeing history being made right before our eyes. This thing with the Pope, the resignation of the Pope, this, I think, is going to be the beginning domino in what is going to culminate into a new world religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. You remember that photograph that I took out of a kind of a portal area in the sky, and it literally looked like a uncoiling snake, like a snake in the sky. Remember that one, that silver-looking one?
Right, right.
And what's interesting, that was before I ever knew that, and I've seen the, you know, some of the data recently on this actually being, I guess, the Chinese year, 2013, the year of the snake, they're calling it. You know, it's everywhere.
Right.
I mean, there ads are everywhere about that. And this is what's odd, Augusto. I never really considered, now you've known some of this information for some time because you've studied the I guess you could say, Mexico to the end of South America and all those Latin American nations, you know, down through there. And you know, you were pretty much aware of a serpent or snake and in the Spanish translations of a number of locations, you know, up and down that entire coast that dealt with a serpent or from the head to the tail, you know. But until this last year, I had never looked or really understood the depth of that going back into either the Mayan or the, you know, some of that time frames. But now it's like we have just literally, what is it, Augusto? Is it like we've dug it up again and we're finding new things that are ancient but yet prophetically point to us and our time?
Well, I think that there's going to be, and there are being discoveries being made, right now, all over the earth, which is letting us know that, you know, there were ancient civilizations here, like the, you know, the article I sent you a copy of, you know, regarding Lake Titicaca. Now,
absolutely.
I had this conversation with you, which led to me doing more research into it, which was a few weeks ago. I had a very strange experience at night, which you know, was like a dream vision. I don't know, maybe my real spirit was there, because I was flying over a certain part of the world, and I was up in the air, and I was looking down, and it was really beautiful. It was gorgeous. I was looking at lakes, and I was looking at mountains, and I was looking at all kinds of, you know, beautiful scenery. And all of a sudden, I see this great big lake. And as I started watching this big lake, I hear the voice behind me say, "Lake Titicaca." And you know, I've never been to Lake Titicaca. I didn't even know where it was. I realized that was the voice of the Lord, you know, or an angel of the Lord. And so I woke up and I wrote it down in a piece of paper so I wouldn't forget. And I started sharing this with you the other day, and you mentioned to me, I believe the Lord is trying to tell you something about that name, because, you know, that's all I heard, Lake Titicaca. I mean, I didn't see anything else. I didn't hear anything else. I just heard the name Lake Titicaca, and that was it. So, you know, I thought it was, I knew it was the Lord, but I didn't know what he wanted with that, because that's all I saw, that's all I heard. And so when I started researching that, you know, I started finding out something very strange about this Lake Titicaca. And I sent you a copy of that. But my goodness, there's a city there, it was called the City of the Gods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. I mean, some of the stuff that has been going on there and the things that are being discovered there are incredible, and the portals that are there, and many of these portals are now beginning to be discovered all over the earth. Of course, a couple of years ago, there was this portal at the Gulf of Aden that
I remember
being,
that.
You know, that was discovered, and it's still open.
We still got a lot of ships in that. Yeah, don't we have a a number of ships. We're calling it a group of ships that are, I guess, watching for pirates. But really, we know a little more than what they're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, there are ships there from all over the earth, and you know, to this day, it's still there, and that portal is still open. And I believe it's been through that portal, many, many entities are coming into our realm, and many things, you know, quote-unquote things, are coming into our into our existence. So these portals are beginning to be opened. Well, we also read, I think it was last year and the year before, that many pyramids throughout the whole earth are beginning to be activated. They are seeing these beams of light, shafts of light, coming out from pyramids. What is causing it? I don't know. But something is definitely triggering these things. And so when I started reading about this, you know, Lake Titicaca, and you know, which, by the way, is right there in Peru, between Peru and Bolivia, okay? And, you know, it's incredible some of the things that I started finding out. You know, they considered the Lake Titicaca the eternal city inside the lake. And they think that this is where the first Incas, Manco Capac and Mama Ocala, entered the earth. The solar disk was used in the capacity of a cosmic computer that received light information directly from the universal mind source. I mean, maybe wanted me to know, Larry. I don't know.
Well, it's interestingly too, you know, I guess you saw that post. I think I sent you a copy that Tom Horn had posted, an article where a team of, I believe it was Peruvian, French, and Spanish, I think it was, have discovered a portal or doorway down by Machu Picchu, or however you say that. And this is still sealed. This has the seal of the Incas there, I believe. I'd have to read it again to know exactly what I'm talking about. But are you familiar with that incident?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I know what you're referring to. These doorways are appearing now for some reason. They're appearing now, although they have been there all along. They have been there all along, but now they are you know, appearing and they're being noticed. This doorway, okay? I remember we've had conversations about doorways and portals before on the program together. The Bible talks about portals and about doorways. And, you know, doorways and portals are the means, the vehicle through which someone can go onto into another dimension or to another point in time, okay? This particular portal in the Lake Titicaca is called the Doorway of the Amaru, the Meru Aramumuru, the Gate of the Gods. And they said it is a stargate and a dimensional doorway carved in solid rock at Lake Titicaca, Peru. And this is incredible. You know, and there's a picture there that I sent you, Larry. If you look at it, it looks like a portal. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. It's amazing.
It looks like that portal that used to be in Stargate, in that Stargate series.
Exactly.
But it has been. You know, it looks like a rock now, but it has the shape of a portal, and it's a very, very, very strange looking, mysterious looking door like structure in the Hayumarca mountain region in southern Peru, near Lake Titicaca, an hour away from the city of Puno. And so it says here in the article that it's called by the Indians there, the locals, the City of the Gods. So why would you think they call them the City of the Gods? Do you think maybe that's where the this Anunnaki, these entities, touched down sometime in the past?
Well, I do know, you know, talking to Klaus Dohna, Augusto, that he is aware of, and of course others are too, but he is very aware of the giants, the artifacts and the giants connected with, which would be Nephilim, as we would call them. They are involved in Peru, heavily involved. I think there's a lot of bodies of the giants that are buried there, and they're beginning to find now, and of course Klaus has found a lot of the same thing in Ecuador, and we're seeing that. But, you know, Augusto, we've shared before, You know, and I know a lot of people that may not have listened to us before may be listening tonight, maybe not, maybe download it later. But, you know, there's one thing about it. When you, you know, through prayer, you and I both have, we pretty much connected a lot of these doorways or portals with the biblical, as you would say, the gates of hell. Now, we don't know a lot about the gates of hell other than we know they're plural and they will attempt to prevail. Of course, typically, the indication is they will not prevail, but they will attempt to. And, you know, that puts us again in this very interesting time frame. And at the same time as all of this is coming about, we do know and have heard a lot of reports how the Vatican for years has captured a lot of this data on those locations, photographs, even some of the sites of these things, and kept them secret, you know, from the public.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine what they must have in the Vatican Library, all the documents and books and scrolls, what have you. But you know, even if they never shared it, now for somehow, some way, these things are beginning to appear, and this knowledge is beginning to come out. So it is going to, people are going to know the truth. And but I what I fear is, or what I'm concerned is, not fear because I don't fear, but what I'm concerned about is that the enemy is going to use many of these things, and he's going to twist them to you know, mix truth with lies, to tell the people basically, you know, when all these religions are all molded into one religion, with the, you know, with the next pope and the arrival of the ETs and the you know, these aliens and so forth, then they're going to sell the people the lie that you know, we were not created by a creator. We were basically planted here, seeded as a species on this planet by ancient gods, you know, by this these visitors, and now they're coming back to usher us into a higher level of consciousness, you know, another dimension. And many of these things that are going to be taking place on the earth are for our welfare, for us to evolve, for us to you know, to be able to go into this higher dimension. You know, and this would tie into the mark of the beast. This would tie into the you know, the triple helix DNA and the multiple helix DNA, which has to do, you know, with the ability to go into other dimensions, you know, and so forth and so on. And this is what I'm concerned that this is going to lead humanity into. And the people are not ready for this because, first of all, because they never listened to us. They could have learned something if they were listening to us and some of the other watchmen and people out there that have studied and researched and done some research on the topic and are able to speak about these things. If they would have listened and they would have taken notice, maybe then they would not be taken by surprise. They would be prepared. But because they have not, they're not going to be prepared. And because they're not prayed up the way they should be prayed up, they're not as close to the Lord or the Father as they should be. They don't have a discernment to know what is right and what is wrong. At least if they would be close to the Lord, even if they didn't know these things, but they were close to the heart of the Father, they would have the discernment to know what is true and what is not true. But they don't even have that. So I am afraid that it's going to be like lambs to the slaughter when these things happen, and my goodness, it's going to be horrible.
I know that, Augusto, you know, you've seen the movie Prometheus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And one of the interesting things, you know, you was talking about a deception where there are multiple creators, in other words, a group of creators. In the movie, they call them engineers. I find that ironic. But they're working on Prometheus 2 now, from what my understanding is, and there's a further search for the engineers or the gods, so to speak. That really rings with that Lake Titicaca or whatever that, you know, you were referring to with the City of the Gods. But ironically, in that movie, they had an interesting... Did you see how they started that ancient spaceship? They used a tone, an instrument for a tone. And that's one of the things that, you know, I talked to Stan Dale about, and a few other people have said that those tones or frequencies were how a lot of the so-called gods operated their portals, operated their doorways, operated their craft. You know, I find it interesting that these guys seem to know those things to make these movies from.
I believe so. I believe that these movies, they're gleaning this information, this knowledge from some of these other sources, you know. Just like this article I'm sharing with you tonight and with the people and many of these other books that are written, I believe that they gathered those sources, all that information from somewhere. And like for example, going back to the Lake Titicaca article, the natives there, the Indians, okay, they have a legend. And it speaks of a gateway to the land of the gods. And in that legend, they say that in times long past, the great heroes had gone to join their gods and passed through the gate for a glorious new life of immortality. And on rare occasions, those men returned for a short time with their gods to inspect all the lands and the kingdom through the gate. Another legend talks about the time when the Spanish conquistadors arrived in Peru and looted the gold and precious stones from the Inca tribes. And according to one legend, which is recorded in the book Secret of the Andes by Brother Philip, they talk about an Inca priest of the Temple of the Seven Rays named Amaru Meru. Okay?
Hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
The people out there, you do some research on that name, and you're going to be shocked at what you find out. Amaru Meru. He fled from his temple with a sacred golden disc known as the Key of the Gods of the Seven Rays and hid it in the mountain of Hayumarca. Okay, now all this stuff, he talks about the portals, he talks about the Key of the Gods, the rituals that were performed, with a golden disc. And according to the legend, this disc would emanate a blue light, which a blue light emanated from the tunnel inside, which, of course, it could have been the portal. And many of these legends also, Larry, talk about these portals. They became watery when they were activated.
Wow.
Just like the Stargate series.
Exactly.
And there are petroglyphs and images of men and entities standing by this portal, okay? It's incredible where these people are getting their information from, but they're getting it from these sources. And so this thing, all these portals, if people do their research, you're going to find out that many petroglyphs show portals. They show this round stargates, okay? And there are some even in the form of petroglyphs that could be found today in the world, in different parts of the world. So apparently these entities, they were here before, and they're coming back. And they're
mm-hmm.
coming back now, and apparently they're already here, according to what some sources have said and what we have heard before. So these things are happening right before our eyes. And all this thing is tying in together with what the topic we started talking about, the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI and the arrival of what could be the last pope, Petrus Romanus,
mm-hmm.
according to St. Malachi prophecy, which would be the ushering in of the end of time. According to this prophecy, he says when Petrus Romanus, he will nourish the sheep in many tribulations. And when they are finished, the city of Seven Hills will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge will judge his people. That's the prophecy. So we are entering into that right now.
Well, I tell you, I know that you've recently come into some information from Professor Ernst Moldashev from Russia on his Tibetan or Himalayan search for some of the so-called gods. What did you think about that data?
oh my goodness, he has such insight into that, what is happened in that in those caves, and you know, the way he puts it is so interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. So interesting the way he puts it. I haven't finished the book yet. I'm going through it. But I find it fascinating, some of the stuff that and you sent me that, Larry. You sent me that. I am stunned. I am fascinated by the way he puts it together. But, you know, some of this data that he is encountering, again, if the people are not fast and are not rooted and that they're not founded in the foundation of what they believe, it's going to lead a lot of people maybe down the wrong path.
Yeah, that's
because you know, these things did happen. They're real. These things we're telling you tonight, people, they are real. They did happen. But if you want to go ahead and expand on it, Larry, go ahead. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, I find that it really intrigues me is Moloshev. If people don't know anything about him, he's from Upper Russia, and he's actually an incredible, world-renowned eye surgeon. I think he's even replaced you know, maybe the eyeball itself. I believe he's done some transplants, and you know, he's known worldwide for that.
Right.
And what began, according to his story, what began his search for beings that were underground literally started from you know how Augusto, how people will. There are some archaeologists and I guess people that are experts in reforming from actually just a skull. They could find a skull, and they could actually bring facial recognition to that skull, you know?
That's right.
Well, interestingly, he came from the angle of the eyes. The eyes is what got him. He kept seeing on buildings, especially in Tibet and a lot of the temples, these odd-looking eyes, a set of eyes, and they were always the same set of eyes, and he got to thinking, well, what in the world would people put a set of eyes on their temple, and what does that set of eyes mean? And that set of eyes really doesn't look like human eyes that like we have. And so he began a search from there that led him to actually going underground in caves and seeing at a distance giants. And he's not talking about little people. He's talking about giants in so-called, he uses a different term, but it's like, you know, like they're frozen in hibernation, so to speak, or a suspended animation, I guess, is another good term you could use. But, you know, I won't go into all the details, but you're reading the book, and I don't want to say too much. But like you say, he builds a case from the eyes. He actually, they build a face from the eyes.
Wow.
And the forehead and all, and it blows the minds of these priests that tend these beings, because it's the face of some of these beings. And what I found intriguing, Augusto, you know, you've seen the elongated skulls and the different kind of skulls, just
right.
The skulls that they found around the world. Well, listen, Moloshev went into a place underground that's waiting for a specific time. And these suspended beings, some of them have the elongated skulls. Now, whether these are just simply hybrids, whether or not, you know, I can't even say what they are because I haven't been there, but Moloshev has. And matter of fact, when he got back in Russia, the government there didn't even want him to release some of this information because, you know, and like you say, if people are not grounded, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, this will just shatter their minds. I mean, you know, we are really coming up on a time when people's hearts may fail them because of the things they don't know that they begin to find out and can't handle it mentally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, you know, like this book, you know, by Dr. Moloshev and many of these other books, you know, like that we've mentioned before, like the Book of Enoch and the Cold Brain and so many other books, and, you know, this type of books and materials are shunned by the Christian church that we are familiar with today. They wouldn't even listen to anything being said about this. So the people that goes to these churches, which are 90%, 95% of the people, the believers in Christ, they are never told about any of these things, and they're even told, don't even mess with that thing. That is totally heretical. So this is the type of mentality that then when all of this other information begins to come out and the people begin to realize, you know what, there have been other civilizations and other beings here before us. And so what does that do to the creation model? What does that do to, you know, to the Bible? You see, if they don't understand these things and how these things, you know, come together, and there is a place for it in the theology of God. There is a place for this in the Bible. The Bible doesn't contradict this. There is a place for it, but people have to know how to connect the dots and how these things blend in and complement what the Bible tells us. Because the Bible tells, everything the Bible tells us is true. The Bible has truth. Everything it tells us is the truth. There's nothing, there are no lies there. However, it has missing parts. There are truths that are not in the Bible. For some reason, it has been left out, whether it was left out on purpose or whether it was left out because the Illuminati, the Jesuit priest, the Vatican, cut it out so that, you know, we don't have it today. For whatever reason it was, we don't have it. And they may be laying in the Vatican vault. I don't know. But we may get access to it before long. But what if, for whatever reason, we don't have it. And so we need to get to it by access through other materials, through Josephus and through many of these books that we're talking about. These books do not contradict the Bible. They do not contradict the Bible. If you know if you have knowledge and you know what you're talking about and you have a good foundation. But if you don't, it will mess you up. Like Larry's saying, it will totally mess you up so bad that you may forsake the faith. You may just turn your back on God and say, the whole everything I've believed in is a lie. That's how serious this is.
That's right. Oh, it's incredibly serious. And Augusto, I can't see the forum on my computer's too slow. I don't know if anybody needs to ask us any questions or tried to or not.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good time for them. If they have any questions, then maybe Dorothy could pass it on to us and we can address them.
Well, no one's posted any questions yet. And every question I've had, Larry's like reading my mind and talking about.
Okay, well, that's good.
I know. You do it to me all the time. It's kind of cool.
All right.
These comets this year, do you believe we're falling back into the time where a comet is a harbinger of God, like perhaps of his judgment?
Go ahead,
Larry.
Go ahead, Augusto. Really good on the comments, and you know how I kind of go along with you on that, on the harbingers.
Well, I think it is. I think that comets are harbingers. That they have always been harbingers of things to come and of wars, major wars. Every time there has been a major comet appear, there has been a catastrophic war. And or a major event that has taken place, and you know, especially the most notorious comet is Comet Halley and Hale Bopp, and every time these comets have come, a major event has taken place, and this year we have several of them coming, and this one in November of this year is a biggie. It's a major comet, and it's so big it. They have said it's going to be 13 times, I think is what they say, 13 or 15 times as bright as the moon. I mean, that's pretty bright. I mean, the moon at night is pretty bright. So whenever you have an object that, you know, it's like 15 times as bright as the moon, that is going to be spectacular. So I don't know if this is the comet that Nostradamus, and I don't put a lot of stock in Nostradamus, but, you know, some of the stuff he has prophesied, you know, some of it has come to pass. And so, you know, but anyways, I don't subscribe to, you know, to Nostradamus and his prophecies, but just like St. Malachi, you know, when some of these people say some things and they do come to pass, you know, you kind of have your options open and you just, you know, and keep an eye open. And so he did say one of his prophecies that when a comet covers the sky, okay, when the Jews return to Zion and the comet covers the sky, the end will come. The end of mankind will come. And the Jews have, of course, returned to Zion in 1948. And now we get this huge comet coming. Whether this is the one, I don't know. But in light of all these events happening, it could be. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
And did you think that the picture of the lightning striking the Vatican on the day the announcement was made about the resignation, do you think that was real? I saw someone mention it might have opened a portal, but it almost looks photoshopped, but I'm not good enough at that stuff to figure that out. What do you think about that?
Did you see that, Larry?
I saw the photograph. I saw it, I believe, on Drudge Report. And, you know, I'm careful, Augusto and Dorothy. You know, I was a Baptist for years, and I guess I did nothing, basically. But then I went through a church system that was beyond Pentecostal, you know, that it was a different kind where, you know, some people saw a demon under every rock. And you know, I've looked under lots of rocks over time, and I've decided or come to the conclusion that there's not a demon under every rock, just like, you know, even though, you know, we're having a lot of portal talk now, and a lot of it is real. I mean, absolutely. But then again, we do have the other that seems to seep in there that sometimes, you know, it's like everywhere you look, there's another portal. Well, not so exactly. And I associate, I don't know about Augusto, I think he agrees with me, but I associate these portals that are being opened and shut by the enemy as the so-called biblical gates of hell defined in the Bible. And I don't know how many they are. I know they're plural. I don't know how many they are. I know where some of them are, and I know Augusto knows where some of them are, but we don't know where all of them are, probably. But this is something that's, you know, all this is what really rings my bell, so to speak, spiritually, is like Daniel Holdings writing in his book, you know, it's when all these things, that's the terminology that we've got, when all these things begin to happen, and I think we are seeing all these things beginning to come together, and really the shock with the Pope thing and the Catholic Church and all of this other just even is opening our eyes a little more to all the awesomeness that's going on around us that maybe we thought we was prepared for and we're really not, because a lot of this is, there's so much happening. Augusto, sometimes I want to do you know how on your computer sometimes you can refresh it? I need to refresh my brain sometimes.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's just too much. It's just too much going on right now. It overwhelms you, you know. And
absolutely.
Sometimes you know, my brain feels like shutting down. And so I know exactly what you're saying, because so many things are happening simultaneously. It is so close, people. We are just so close to everything, and I do believe we are at the end of times. The Lord has shown me enough about it. You know, he showed me an experience I had a few years ago, and we are right on the time right now. We are on the time, and the biggest mistake anybody can make is think that this is just another, you know, maybe just another little bump in the road, and we're going to get over it, and everything's going to be all right, you know, in a few months or in a year. And no, no, there's no coming back. This, we are entering a place where no man has gone before. Remember that Star Trek episodes when they started the episodes that going where no man has gone before. Well,
yeah.
This is where we are at. We are entering, okay? We are entering no man's land. We are going where no one has gone before. Never, ever, ever before, okay? This is it. And so we are entering into a time that we don't know. We don't know really what to expect. There are no parameters to compare it to. And, you know, whether you talk about the economy or whether you talk about a world war, I mean, we've never had a war where... there are nuclear weapons. We are entering to a time when the cataclysmic events are very possible, are imminent. We are entering to a time when entities from another dimension are coming into ours, demonic. We are talking about the apocalypse. Okay, we are talking about the Book of Revelation, the fulfillment of Revelation, and the Book of Daniel. So we are living in momentous times, and of course, you know, next year we're going to have two tetrads, and you know, we couldn't come to the end of the program without mentioning that. How well would that fit with all these things that are happening with the Pope and, you know, with the comets and everything? Next year they're going to be two tetrads, two blood moons, and they both fall on holidays. And so there are many rumors out there that maybe next year is the time when, you know, this whole thing is going to come down. And whether some people believe in the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, don't matter. The end is upon us. And whether he may take a few months or maybe a few years, I don't know. I think it's probably going to be sooner than later. But that's just that's just me. The bottom line is the people need to be ready. You better don't postpone it any longer because it's upon us. And you got to be prepared, as prepared as you're ever going to be. It's now. And this is the time. This is the time for just, just cleaning your earth suit and your spirit suit. Make sure that... Your lamp is clean, and your vessel is full of oil, and make sure that your relationship with the Lord is in good shape, and that He will take us the rest of the way. So I guess that's about as simple as I can put it.
That's a good word, Augusto. That's good. You know, I know we're almost out of time, and we don't even have time. We mentioned Jerusalem, but. You know, we don't even have time to talk about the situation in North Korea and Syria, of course, right now. We've got trouble in Lebanon, Iran. I mean, and you know, all of this stuff is just – and by the way, I don't know if people have seen it, but Russian warships are on the way to dock in Iran now. You know, this happened in Syria, but now we've got them en route to dock in Iran, and we've got a lot of things happening, and then again we've got the incredible strife. I'll use the term civil strife in America, and the political strife. And Augusto, I don't know. Some days I wonder how much tighter this spring could twist, you know, without breaking.
Well, remember last year, Larry, in the month of October, I had a very powerful experience. When I was taken to a library, I would like to say it's Heaven's Library, but I really don't know for sure. And I was shown a lot of things that were about to come to pass. It had already happened in the past with these entities, you know, the Illuminati and the Masons and these people. And the word that they gave me, okay, and they told me, it was very loud and clear. And I know there's been people that have been saying for years that there was going to be a revolution, and I know that Dmitry Dudeman said it back in the 90s that there was going to be a revolution. I know that, and many other watchmen have said that eventually there's going to be a revolution in America, but people need to understand that this is not something I said, okay? I didn't say it. I was told this was going to happen now. So that's a big difference between, you know, saying it's going to happen and now being told it is going to happen now. And what I was told, Larry and Dorothy, was that there was a revolution coming to America. And there was an urgency in that voice of this, of the man that told me this. And, you know, I believe it's coming. I believe this is exactly what these people want. And unfortunately, there's going to be many, many out there that are going to play right into their hands, because that is exactly what they want. They want it. They want a revolution. And once the revolution starts, they're going to bring in the Russians and bring in the Chinese, and they're going to really tear this country apart. And, I mean, the people need to be discerning. They have to have their wits about them, because this is happening also right before our eyes. China owns this country. China has been given permission to come and take this country because they own it. We owe China so much money now that it's not even funny. So a big chunk of this country belongs to China, and they know it. The leaders of this nation have basically told them, you know, come and get it. You can take assets. We cannot pay you back. You take the assets. And so it's going to happen. And they're waiting. They're basically waiting for an excuse, okay, for a trigger. And they want people to, I mean, they're really poking, they're poking at the people in America either through a policeman, or they're poking at us through gun control, or they're poking the people that, any way they can. They're poking, trying to provoke the people to react, okay? And because once that happens and this thing is, the fuse is lit, that will be the trigger, and it's going to be like a domino, one after another, which is going to lead us into all the prophecies, you know, of Henry Groover and A.A. Allen and Dimitri Dudeman and all these other men of God that God has told them how this thing is going to happen. And the Lord just told me it's imminent. So what can I say? Brace yourselves. Pray. Prayer still is powerful. I believe that prayer changes things. I believe that when we pray and intercede before God, He's able to change events. He's able to turn events. We may not be able to stop this thing right now. It's unstoppable. We're going to see judgment, but the degree of the judgment is we can have a part of it in dictating what kind of judgment we're going to suffer, you know, whether it's going to be a huge, big judgment or it's going to be, you know, lesser. And it depends on the level that people repent. It depends on the level that the people pray and intercede and touch the throne of God for mercy and for intervention, for divine intervention. We can still have a part in this thing, what happens in this land, even though this land is going to receive judgment. People should not give up praying altogether for this country. We still have a say in what kind of judgment and the protection that the Lord will have upon His people and what level of intervention the Lord will have in this nation.
Well, I know, Father, it's been impressing the Daniel's prayer for his country where he made his great confession, you know, towards the end of the captivity. I think it's chapter 9. And for some reason, he has really been impressing me with that one. And I'm starting to pray that one for our country, you know. Just, we deserve it.
Yeah, that's
it.
Good, Dorothy.
We've done bad, so, you know, if that means anything to anybody.
Yeah, one of the things that stands out at me, you mentioned Daniel. And, of course, you're familiar, both of you are familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fiery furnace, you know that scenario. One of the things, though, that recently I've really has stuck out to me, and I know we're almost out of time, but I want to end it by saying the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not their real names. Those were captivity names that had been given them after the captivity. So you know, now I suppose when I tell people that's the way to go or that's the attitude to have, you know God can deliver me. I don't know if he will, but I know that he can, but I'm not going to serve your God anyway. Now, I kind of paraphrase that, but I'm just basically saying, you know, no matter where we wind up, even if it's in a captivity of a sort or whatever, God's still there. He is absolutely still there.
That's right. And one of the things, and you and I have talked about this, Larry, and you know, and I know we ran out of time, but one of the things that the people need to understand and be prepared for is some people, maybe many, will die. Many believers will die, maybe a martyr's death, maybe as a result of these horrible things that are coming up on the earth. And people need to know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Okay?
Yeah.
And
Amen. We
have a better world waiting for us. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, Yeshua said many times, my kingdom is not of this earth. So, you know, we have a glorious tabernacle waiting for us on the other side of the river. And so people need not be afraid. Fear should have no part of us. We should walk in peace and in shalom, knowing that the Father is going to take us the rest of the way. And you just do what you can. You just do what you're supposed to do, and he'll do the rest.
That's a good word, Augusto. God bless you, my friends.
God bless you, Larry. Enjoyed it, as always. And thank you, Dorothy, for this program, for allowing us to share.
Oh, thank you guys for coming on and sharing with us. We all appreciate it. Do you want to say a quick prayer as a closeout? We're in recording anyway, so...
Go ahead, Augusto.
Well, thank you, Father, for your tenderness and your grace and your mercy. You have been so kind to us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to do this program tonight, for the listeners that listened. Thank you for Larry, Lord, and sharing, Lord, out of the wealth of his experience, Lord, and his knowledge. And, Lord, I pray your blessing and your protection be upon him and his family. I pray, Lord, for Dorothy, Lord, that thank you, for Lord, that she shared, Lord, and opened, Lord, this platform so we could come and share, Lord, these things that the Lord has given us to share. I pray your blessing and your protection upon her and her family up in the Northeast, Father. And I thank you, Father, for allowing me to come, Lord, and just say and share with the precious people out there, Lord, what you have given us. I pray, Father, that you would grant those that do not know you the ability to know you tonight, those that know you but are not close to you, that they draw closer to you. As these things begin to happen, Father, and the end becomes nearer, and these things are becoming clearer by the day, Lord, that we are indeed entering the end of times, I pray, Father, that you would give us the grace, the strength to make it all the way to the end, and that you would grant us the peace to go into it without fear. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we leave all the people shalom, and we pray shalom over everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Shalom, guys.
Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Father, bless and keep you, and let's hit our knees and just keep on praying. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Night-night.
Night.